Welcome to today's New Life Live podcast. Today's podcast is brought to you by you. Your donations make this podcast possible. Please consider donating today using the New Life app, visit newlife.com, or call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Welcome to New Life Live with host and founder of New Life Ministries, Stephen Arterburn. New Life Live is dedicated to transforming lives one at a time, thanks to the giving hearts of you, our listeners. Our goal is to provide you with wisdom from God's Word to give you hope and help in life's hardest places. If you have a question you'd like to ask today, our phone lines are open. Call 1-800-229-3000. That number again is 1-800-229-3000. Now here's Steve.
Hi, and welcome. Happy Friday to you. And, of course, as you know, we have something coming up here on Sunday. It is Valentine's Day. And, I think, as I've said in other programs, getting her a toaster, guys, probably isn't a good Valentine's gift. And sometimes, you know, you see all these ads and lingerie and this kind of stuff, and a guy thinks, oh, I'll do that. But for some women, they may not say it, but it can be kind of demeaning to them. They don't want to be maybe at this stage in life or whatever. It just might not be what they want to be dressed in at night. So you just need to be aware that if you see that kind of a half smile or you've seen it in the past, maybe don't repeat that particular gift. Okay, so ladies,
you even have Terry cracking up, Steve.
Yeah. So what? So here I am in deep here. Can you help me? So
well, even though what I'm going to say is overly practical and unromantic, but finding out how your wife feels loved and asking her about that and asking
That's
her
great.
What she wishes she would receive. We get stuck in thinking we should be mind readers, and yet it doesn't work well. Mm-mm. And so if you keep hitting up against the wrong gift or the attempts to love on your spouse are not working well, find out what will work better. Just ask them what would make you feel loved.
And observe how they
try to love you.
They try to love you, because often people do it the way they want to be loved.
Mm-hmm. Emphasis on try could be, depending on the situation. Well, we love you, and we're glad you're with us here. By the way, I'm going to be preaching Saturday at 5 o'clock Eastern Time at northviewchurch.us, and then 9 and 11 a.m. on Sunday. That's Eastern Time, northviewchurch.us. I'm a teaching pastor of this fantastic church, one of the top 20 largest churches in America. And I've got my message is it's part of the series that I've been doing on going deeper, and it's the problems with love. And, of course, one problem is that you see a problem, but it's not the problem that really needs to be dealt with. You know, it could be that, you know, you see a big problem in the other person, but you need to be dealing with the problem that's in you. And the other person might be a bigger target, but that doesn't get you off the hook for what you need to be dealing with. All right, let's go to, how about we go to Amy from Nashville, Tennessee. Hi, Amy. How are you today? What's going on in your life?
Hi, thank you guys so much for taking my call.
Sure. What's going on?
I need help desperately.
Okay.
So I've been married with my husband for 7 years.
7 years.
Going on now. Yeah. And at work, he had a situation. Think about Joseph's story with Potiphar's wife.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And instead of running like Joseph did, he did not run. And it was going something like that, going on for about 2 years.
Sounds like you think that he was the victim of a woman after your husband.
Yes.
Like if she had never come after him, he would have been totally innocent. Is that right?
I don't think so.
Okay, well, that's what
I
it sounded like.
No.
Yeah, okay, good deal. All right, well, you hear the music. We're going to deal with this. And I am so sorry that for 2 years this was going on. Guys, if for some reason you stumbled onto the program, I just wish there was some way to communicate the hurt and the pain inside of a person who's been betrayed sexually. It is so painful. And what for? Moments of pleasure that are superficial? We'll be back after this.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we are talking with Amy. And her husband was involved with somebody at work. Amy, what's the question for us? How could we help you here?
Basically is, how do I trust him again, and how can I start healing? Because this happened back in around September, and I'm having like flashbacks of him, of everything he told me, and I can't connect with him currently. I'm angry with him. Now I feel like I hate him sometimes.
Yeah, okay, well, that would be kind of normal, don't you think? Don't you think that'd be kind of normal to maybe even kind of hate the guy for what he did, the pain that he put you through?
Yeah, but it comes to the point where I want a divorce sometimes, and I don't want that.
Well, I'll tell you this on the divorce thing. The research shows that 5 years later, the people that don't divorce are actually better off and happier, and sometimes they have a better relationship. I'm going to ask you a question, and then I'll turn this over to Jill and Alice. When he told you, or when you found out about this, what did you require of him? What did you tell him, you must do this? What was that?
Well, I don't think anything. Well, I did tell him, like, you need to be completely honest with me, but I don't even know what, if he is being honest, because if he was able to hide this for 2 years...
Okay, so see, we have hope here because he hasn't done anything to grow. He hasn't done anything to be sure that this can never happen again. Because when he gets caught, of course, the last thing he would ever do is to do it again. But we're human beings, and you can be in the wrong place, wrong time, and repeat what happened before. So I'm really going to encourage you to require some stuff, and then you can do some things too to get out of this anger and rage. Alice, you want to start us off here?
Amy, you have a legitimate alarm going off in your head and your heart that's telling you he's not trustworthy yet. He's still not trustworthy yet, and you're trying to shut that alarm off prematurely and trust a man who so far has only proved that he's untrustworthy. So as uncomfortable as it is good to not trust yet until you see enough outside evidence over time of behavior, help that he's getting, structured programs that he's participating in, definitely not proving with his words, but proving with his actions that he is becoming worthy of being trusted again.
Okay. Amy, we often, as women, put the emphasis on the wrong syllable. Someone betrays us, and then they say, I'm sorry, I won't do it again. And then we beat ourselves up for not forgiving them, for not trusting them. Instead of exactly what Alice and Steve had said, that you need to see him over time going above and beyond to correct the problem, to look at how this could ever happen. How were they that vulnerable? How were they lacking in character? And to do everything they can to lead a different life. So I think it makes sense that you're angry because this is a huge deal and he got a slap on the wrist. This is not, right? This does not meet what happened. Okay. He did not protect your marriage. He sacrificed you.
No, he didn't. And I told him he didn't protect us. And all the time you think about it, I just want to cry.
Of course you do.
Of course you are. But you know what? Here's the thing. When either a man confesses or he is caught, one of his responses might be, I am going to do whatever I have to do to be sure that I become the man that you thought I was, and that you can be secure I'll never do this again. See, that's what you're wanting. But here's something that's not as good as that. Honey, I'll do anything you want me to do. See, that's waiting for you to come up with. See, so that's not good. So that's a hedge down. Then the third level is, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to get up in the morning and I'm going to read my Bible and I'm going to pray and I'm going to be really spiritual and I'm really feel bad. Now see, we believe in getting up early and reading the Bible and praying, but he has a character defect that has to be dealt with. And here he's saying, I'm going to stay private. This is your husband. I'm not going to let anybody know about this. And he is so vulnerable. No wonder you're angry that your husband let you down and then he didn't step up to fix it and to win your heart back. So what should she do, guys? What do you think?
Well, Amy, instead of fighting against the legitimate feelings and fears that you have, I think you have to accept that you have every reason for feeling hatred, for thinking about a divorce, and for not being able to trust your husband. Until you see that proof of change from him. Your feelings are legitimate, and you have good reason for feeling them. And if you don't have women around you that are telling you the things that we are, that are helping you to sit in and process your feelings, you need that group of gals. And you can get that through our Restore Weekend. You can get that through a support group, a church life group. But you need those women around you to help help you accept how you're feeling and then find the steps to move beyond how you're feeling.
Yeah. Anything else you want to say, Jill, before we...
I wholeheartedly agree with that, that you need that support around you because that will help to shore you up. And it will help you process your feelings. And I think our programs are great programs, our Every Man's Battle and our Restore Workshops.
And I want to say something ugly about divorce, that divorcing because a partner has been, a spouse has been unfaithful and is not making the changes to safeguard the marriage is one of the only of the two legitimate reasons God gives for divorce. So it's legitimate to consider it, and I hope your husband shows you that he's a man you should stay married to because he's becoming a man of integrity.
Well, I don't think there is anything negative to saying to your husband tonight, by the way, I have been hurting so much over what you did and what you haven't done since then that I had to call and ask for some help and some guidance. And I want to know from you, should I divorce you? Is this as good as it gets? Is this all you're willing to do? Or are you willing to finally do something to work on yourself so that I don't have to worry about you walking out that door every day? I mean, really, this is he needs to tell you whether or not he's willing. And that answers the question, are you worth it for him to do something that he's a little uncomfortable doing? So not a negative to have that conversation with him, because like Alice said, he did something that the Lord said, if you do that, whoever's married to you, they're entitled to divorce you. All right, 1-800-229-3000. Let's go to, how about we talk with Love. I believe it's Love from Cerritos, California. Do you pronounce your name Love or Lovey? Which one is it?
Love.
Nice. Okay. Well, here we are, almost at Valentine's Day,
speaking
to Love. How could we help today?
I need help. I don't know how to communicate with my daughters effectively. One is turning 13 this Friday, and the other one's 14.
Okay.
They're very angry.
What are they angry about?
Right now, about the switch from a private school into full-on homeschooling.
Okay, they're angry about that. And why are they angry about that?
Because they think it's a waste of time. One of them is very social, so she wants to be around more people, although I have heard from people from the previous school that they are in more social circles done the actual school, but because they're not there, they don't believe it.
Why are you homeschooling them? I think homeschooling can be an absolutely amazing thing when a person has the gift of being able to do that, but why are you in that situation with them?
In a nutshell, God called me to do it.
Okay. All right, so you think it's the right thing for them. They hate it. Are you providing them these other social situations that they're looking for?
Yes. Right now, they are in a setting where they meet once a week, mm-hmm. and then they have a study group, so it's another day. And yeah. we only do studying for 4 days, because one of those is when they get together with, you know, the facility.
Well, some schools don't meet at all. They're it's all online. We have a school district near us like that. They don't meet at all. And then my kids, they meet every other day at school. So what is the question for us? How to deal with their anger or what?
I don't know how to communicate with them effectively. I am trying to keep the door open about many topics so they get to tell me how they feel and why they feel that way. Mm-hmm. But they're just shutting the doors. They don't want to hear anything that I want to say.
Okay.
And love, well, what's the strongest way they show their anger?
Slamming doors, screaming.
And if you were to add, what else might be angering them in their life in addition to the school switch?
They have a very absent father. And I'm doing this by myself.
Hmm.
How absent is he? Describe a little bit what's happening with him.
He is remarried with 2 stepdaughters, almost their same age.
Ouch. And what's the custody split for your daughters?
He has never claimed them, so it's just me. I took over, and he has not fought for them.
So he doesn't see them at all?
Very rare.
Wow. That is so hurtful. And they are at ages that tend to be very emotional anyway. Kids, you know, are full of their feelings, as well as the fact that being social is a top priority for kids, and even their brain chemistry, you know, promotes that. I can see why they'd be so angry. And unfortunately, love, you are that safe person mm-hmm. who they are safe enough to express it to. But it's not a fun place to be. Slamming doors and running out of the room, that doesn't resolve anything. And I'm wondering if maybe talking to them outside of the home, when you go for a drive, when you go elsewhere, sitting in a restaurant, places where they're a little more of a captive audience and they can talk about their feelings. When they're screaming their anger at you, you can tell them, I really want to hear you. I know there are things in life that have made you girls angry. When you're yelling at me and slamming the doors, I can't really hear or understand what it is you want to communicate to me. So in a setting where... Go ahead.
I have called the program before, and Alice suggested for me to take them for a walk individually.
Good idea.
The oldest did it once. And it did work. She did open up a little bit,
okay. But
it was just that once. She doesn't want to do it again. And they're always, well, I shouldn't say always. They tend to be against any idea I have, like bike riding, like just outings in general. They don't want to do anything with me. They don't want to hear me.
Okay, so I think it's time to call in some additional help here. We'll talk about that after the break. Really sorry what you're going through. Doing it all on your own, too. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. If you need some help, we would love to help you. It's also the number to call. If you could give a gift of any amount, we'll send you the Mediterranean Love Plan, our way of saying thank you. Can't do this without you. We wouldn't be here if it wasn't for our partners, people in Club New Life, people that give regularly, sometimes just one time. It all works together to help us transform lives. We'll be back after this.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have a question or a comment, call toll-free 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here, and we do know that 13-year-olds and 14-year-olds, well, they don't think that they're crazy, but they can sure drive us crazy, because one day they're compliant, and the next day they're ready to go to prison. I mean, it just, it's not predictable. It's hard. What kind of wisdom do you guys have here? I mean, these girls are angry, and I don't think it's all about love. I think it's about a lack of love from the father.
From dad.
What do you think is the best plan for her?
Well, love, I think you need to have a two-pronged approach, because I think in some ways your authority has been lost a little bit in your household, and you're probably unsure of how and when to assert your authority because your girls are hurting. But there's some inappropriate displays of their anger that needs to be reined in for your sake and for their sake, and that will involve setting up the consequences that you have the power to enact when they mistreat you in their anger, while at the same time validating that they have so much reason to be angry and to be devastated and hurt that their father doesn't care about them and doesn't want to have them in his life.
Well, he really discarded them.
He did. Mm-hmm. And they probably need therapy, because they may not be willing to open up with you. And so getting them set up with a therapist to be able to push that need that they have to open up and learn how to do so in a healthy way. It will be that two-pronged approach that will keep your household safe, restore your authority, but also get them the healing they need.
Hmm. Anything else you want to add to that, Jill? I mean, you raised one of these
I know,
females through 14 and 13.
And with a dad that was in and out. And I know that that's a difficult time. And in childhood, in adolescence, they are still surviving what has happened to them. And often it's not until later that they can put words to how it feels to be abandoned. But you can try to help them. They may push it away, but you can say, you know, tell me about the hurt you feel from your dad not being around, and have some of those conversations. If they'll let you, they may shut you down, but at times, to be able to say, does any of this have to do with your dad?
I think that's the way to go.
The older one.
Yes?
The 14-year-old tends to tell me that I'm pestering her every time I try to do anything like that.
Okay. So these feelings, so it's hard to talk about your feelings. When you say I'm pestering you, whenever I bring up feelings, it sounds like it's really hard for you to go there.
Is
that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and I think this all needs to come down to one conflict. You are going to go to counseling with me. So, you know, they can be upset about everything else. They can be upset about this. But this is the one thing that you're going to follow through on, no matter how upset they get. And you can just tell them, you may not like this, but this is what we're going to do. Because there is no benefit to you to be angry at me. There's no benefit to that. You're not free. You're in pain. It's not fun to be angry. It may feel powerful, but it's not enjoyable. And I don't deserve it. So we're going to go do this.
And this is how we deal with anger. When you're angry, we don't just leave it alone, and we don't use it to push other people away.
Yeah, that's
right. We want to look at the meaning of your anger. So we have to deal with it, because I need to teach you.
And love, be willing to acknowledge and admit that you're doing this imperfectly too. So maybe
yes.
I am pestering you too much and I'm going about this wrong. I'm asking too often. So you and I both need the help of a therapist so we can figure out how to do this better.
Okay. I'm glad you called. And we could send you, I don't know, I think I'll send you Forgiving Our Fathers and Mothers by Jill, and you'll find some stuff in there that maybe you could help them in their need to forgive you. Mm-hmm. Them holding this grudge against you is just...
Well, and their dad.
Yeah, and the dad also.
Mm-hmm. All right. How do we deal with that?
Send that to you. Really glad that you called and sorry you're going through that. Right now, I want to talk over here to... how do you pronounce that? It's... Celebra? Deborah. Oh, there it is, Deborah. I have eye surgery and have a little time seeing some things. Deborah, you're on with us. How are you today? Sorry about that.
Hi, thank you.
Yeah, what's going on?
I just wanted to... I've been a Christian for about 3 years, and prior to that, I've been in recovery, and so I'm very familiar with Al-Anon and enabling. I never actually got too involved with Al-Anon. However, since I've been a Christian, I've had a hard time knowing whether my behavior is enabling or not. Prior to that, I had no problem. I basically would say no to practically anyone who had any kind of an addiction problem if they asked me for help.
Okay.
Like, nope, you're not in recovery, so I'm not going to help you. No.
Okay.
But since I've been a Christian, I've had a hard time with those lines. I have a lot of people that I know from before I was a Christian, who are practicing addicts. That
okay, so
in particular,
you hear the music here. So when we come back, you can ask us a specific question about that person, whether we think it's supportive or it's enabling, and we'll give you that answer and give you some help here.
Thank you.
You're listening to New Life Live. Glad that you are. NewLife.com is our website. This 800 number, 1-800-NEW-LIFE, is a place that will help you find a book, video, a counselor, coach, maybe one of our intensives. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll be back after this.
I was really living a very anxiety-filled life. I turned on New Life, and the topic that day was about anxiety. And just by listening, I got relief.
You can help New Life Live stay on the air by joining Club New Life today. When you sign up to support us monthly through Club New Life, we'll send you the new member thank you gift of 7 books, including Growth Has No Boundaries by Drs. John Townsend and Henry Cloud, Take Your Life Back by Steve Arterburn and Dr. Dave Stoop, and the Emotional Freedom Workbook. Plus, there are ongoing benefits like access to the Club New Life video library, the monthly Club New Life CD or download, quarterly resources, free shipping on purchased resources, and discounts on workshops. Call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433. Support Club New Life, and together we can help hurting people find help and hope in life's hardest places. Call 1-800-639-5433 to join Club New Life today. Glad you joined us for New Life Live. To be a part of the program, call 1-800-229-3000. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Steve Arterburn here. We're talking with Deborah, and she wants to know, now that she's a Christian, is she being an enabler or is she being supportive? That's the question.
Okay.
Alice, you had a comment about that, didn't you?
Well, Deborah, I respect your question because I think it is difficult to know. How can I be a generous, self-sacrificing Christian and yet have good boundaries and differentiate between when my help is helpful or when my help is keeping somebody else stuck? Would you share a few more details about the person in particular that you are calling about, whether or not you're supporting or enabling them?
Sure, yes. I have a friend who, she's not a Christian, but I know her from my past recovery program. And she does not want to be clean and sober. She has no desire to be clean and sober.
Okay.
She does not want to hear anything about God or the Bible, although I slip it in sometimes here and there. And I slip in things about recovery sometimes. But...
Okay, what's your relationship like with her? What are you doing that's supportive?
Sometimes I I will, she's on public assistance, and she has health issues. So sometimes she complains that she doesn't have healthy food to eat. She has definitely food to eat. There's plenty of food banks in Seattle where she can get food anytime, but sometimes she complains that it's not healthy food.
Okay, let me just ask you this.
Healthy food.
Tell us what you're doing. Oh, okay. You'll buy her?
Sometimes I will buy her groceries here and there. Or, like, I'll give her a ride to the doctor or things like that. So,
okay.
About that.
Okay. So you're wondering if buying the food for her and then she's buying booze with other money, is that the question, whether that's supportive or codependent? Okay. Alice, what do you think?
There are a lot of signs, Deborah, in your situation that this woman is willing to stay stuck right now in her unhealthy behavior. And when a person is in this position, they usually need more discomfort to get them to the place where they're willing to get help. So when you do what you're doing to help keep her comfortable enough in this position, it could be a barrier for her to getting recovery. So allowing her to be uncomfortable and that discomfort to increase is probably in her better interest long term than giving her the help that you are. I'd also have you consider how you feel about the help you're giving. You're questioning already. The doubt is there, and that's a warning sign. If you're also feeling resentful as you're doing this for her, and if it's not a good stewarding of your limited resources, that's another sign. The last point I'll add is that when we realize that our help is keeping someone immature, keeping them stuck, it's not healthy to continue that form of help. It's not loving them in the best long-term sense.
Well,
right.
Go ahead, Jill.
Part of what we need to ask ourselves is, are we doing for them what they need to do for themselves? I think as a Christian, we don't want to completely eliminate all codependency, because what gets labeled as codependency is just caring for people who can't do things for themselves, who are in need. I wonder why, it's interesting, Deborah, that you have been able to set boundaries with other people. Like, you've worked a recovery program and you've set boundaries with people pretty well. What is different about this friend? What is the hook for you?
Thank you for asking. She has had a more traumatic childhood than I have. So, and she has learning disabilities, which I do not have. So I can't really relate to her traumatic childhood or her learning disabilities. So
okay.
It's hard for me. So I think, well, this poor girl, she has more problems than me.
Okay, so let me just step in here. I think sometimes we think as Christians that our help must not have any requirements or requests for it to be true help. But you actually can say to her, I'm going to take you to the doctor. I'm happy to do that. And on the way back, we're going to stop at this meeting. We're going to go to this recovery meeting together. You don't have to say a word. You don't have to do anything but sit by me and listen to what these people are saying, and then I'm going to bring you back home. You can have that requirement. You can also say, I'm going to give you this meal, but while you're eating the meal, I want to share with you some things that relate to surrender and why it's so hard for us to stop things that we're dependent on. So you can have those requirements. Now, she might say, no, I'm not doing that. Don't take me to the doctor. Don't bring me food. But maybe she needs to feel that way for 10 days or 2 weeks. And then finally she says, okay, I'm willing to go to that meeting. What do you think about that?
I think that's it. Excellent. Mm-hmm. And to tell you the truth, I had kind of been thinking about that possibility. So this is definitely God answering my question.
It's a great idea.
All right. Well, I'm not speaking for God, but I do think that it would be helpful and not hurtful. And I'm really glad you have a heart for wanting to help her. And so I'm going to send you a copy of Take Your Life Back, and then I'm also going to send you two Life Recovery Bibles, one for you, one for her, and at some point, maybe, it'll be the right time for you to give that to her. Speaking of codependency, Larry is in the studio, and Larry has, I've not seen any codependency in him. He's very, very independent. Yeah. Stealthy, yes, but I haven't ever seen you acquiesce or some of those things, people please. You really do have a strong character that drives you, and it's not any kind of codependency, except with Rhonda. But it's so good to see that in a man, where you're consistent and you have a heart of gold, and you represent that, and that's what we love to see other men come to represent. What do you have for us today,
Larry? Thank you, Steve, very much.
You're welcome. What do you have for us?
Restore is coming up, the workshop.
Yes.
February 27th, I think, is the date. Mm-hmm. And we talked an awful lot about every man's battle, because it's monthly, and it's a little harder to get women to come to this workshop than it is the men. So I just want to encourage you women with a little testimony here. Words cannot express what this workshop has meant to me. I've struggled for over 10 years with my husband's infidelities, which have left me broken and feeling worthless. Mm. Shelley and my group counselor made sense of all my insecurities and hurtful thoughts. I learned that it is not my fault. I see myself as God sees me, a woman of worth and loved beyond measure by Him. This workshop went step by step and, most importantly, showed me biblically what God expects and wants for me. That alone is priceless. God bless you, Shelley, for pursuing God's calling to help women go through this journey that none of us planned nor wanted. Mm. So, folks, that's it's a double whammy for me. One, it's getting the word out for women that this workshop means something more than you can imagine. You know, so often we know and we expect and we think we know what we're getting into. And God always has something different in store and a different way of bringing to you what you need. And that's what this workshop is for women.
So, you know, Larry, I just, what you said there, it reminds us that a woman is betrayed, and then sometimes she's convinced that it was her fault. So mm-hmm. So not only is she dealing with the pain of betrayal, mm-hmm. but she's feeling shame over what she did or didn't do. And then there's no reason to live with either of those, the bitterness or toward him or the shame in yourself. And so many women have turned it around. You know that I've said to some wives of husbands, just go to this mm-hmm. and experience it, and you may have a different outlook. So we know when betrayal happens, she's entitled to leave. But we want to see you stay together and have a great marriage. Anything else you want to say, Larry?
Yeah, I want to say, if you're listening to this program, and you listen to it often especially, we need your support. It's a regular thing that we need. This ministry does mm-hmm. not exist without people that just of their own goodwill and faithfulness in what we do and what God's doing through this ministry makes a difference. So if you would support mm-hmm. us, if you believe in what we're doing and hearing these testimonies, seeing that God's really doing an amazing work here, please send a gift of support and consider mm-hmm. joining Club New Life. Call us at 800-NEW-LIFE and ask about that.
All right. Thank you, Larry. 1-800-NEW-LIFE. We'll send you the Mediterranean Love Plan for any gift. And if you need help, we're going to give you the best help possible. 1-800-NEW-LIFE.
To find out more information about New Life or to order any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. Now back to New Life Live.
We're back. Glad you're with us. Final segment here. We love getting to do this. We couldn't do it without you. And if you need some help, it's 1-800-NEW-LIFE. 1-800-NEWLIFE. Let's go to Odile from Silver Spring. And she listens to WAVA. How are you, and how could we help you today? What's going on in your life?
Oh, good evening and good afternoon. Oh, I'm just so thankful that I got on the call, because New Life has just still been remarkable in my life. And
yay.
I'm going through, I just ask all that's listening to become a New Life member, because it changes life for real, because I know what it's done for me.
So take
right
your time.
Now, I'm
yeah,
in the
anything
mirror.
Anything you want to add to that, just go get all the time in the world. Thank you for that.
I mean, it is. You know, all, and you guys are just sent from God for real, because there's so many hurting people, and hurting people hurt people.
Mm-hmm. Yes,
so
that's
just
so
keeps
true.
Mushrooming and mushrooming mm-hmm. and mushrooming. And one lady called, and she was sort of like what made me call, because her son is like similar to my son. My son was a good young man, you yeah. know, doing all kind of, you know, like with the virus started, you know, we go shopping and cooking, but something has taken over him. And now he's, like, eating bad. He doesn't eat any decent food. He just eats pizza or burgers or whatever. And he plays this funny-sounding music in at night, you know? And so I
how old is
know.
He now?
Yeah, he's 34, and he didn't got connected with something strange, you know, something strange music kind of thing, and it's uh-huh. changed his personality. And I don't, you know, besides praying, which, you know, is important and works, because when he was 19, it took me 5 years of praying and fasting to get him out of a dark place.
Okay, mm-hmm. now, why and is he so, living at home with you at that age? What's going on there?
He's living at home with me because I wasn't able to handle home by myself.
Okay.
And he left, and he came back, because I wasn't able to handle home by myself. Okay. And I want him to go now, you know, now I'm like, I got to figure, you know, I'm better than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And what happened for me was my husband died and I crashed, totally crashed. My brain mm-hmm. would not work. I could not work. I was angry. Anger, I tell people, anger is so destructive that I couldn't think no more. I couldn't
okay.
even think on the job and do my job, you know. So,
okay, yeah, so what's the question for us? What's the question for us then?
The question is, like, what can I, what, you have any idea of things as far as, you know, as the other mother, just, you know, prayer, is that the only answer? Because he won't go to therapy.
Okay.
That's what he needs, but he's like, no.
Odile, you said this is happening in the last few months. You've noticed this shift in him?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, major. Mm-hmm.
And I know that in general we're seeing a shift in people because of all the lockdowns and because of COVID. And so you see a lot more of that, of people not taking care of themselves in the same way. So are you seeing this in perhaps related to that he's unmotivated or something different?
Nope. It's something different, and for me, it's something spiritual, you know, different
okay.
and spiritual, you know, like they have these other spiritual groups around, you know, these
mm-hmm.
different other yang-yang and whatever kind of groups, and it appears that he's gotten caught into something, because he be playing this funny music
okay.
at night, you know, and when I wake up, and
okay,
so it's changed him.
So one more question. Does he have a history, or do you know if there's any drug involvement?
No, none.
None. Okay.
And Odile, when he was in that dark place as a 19-year-old, what do you believe that was about back then? What was he getting into?
Back then he had gotten mixed up with some teens that was running guns and drugs.
Mm.
He wasn't using, but he was running them. And I my son is in a pain. He's a very painful man because he didn't have a functioning father.
Mm.
Okay.
He never came up to par. He never came up to par to his father. His father always felt he wasn't good enough because he didn't play football.
Okay. Let me give you one thought about what could be happening. You reach your early 30s, you're still living with your mother. And it starts to get you down. You thought it was okay, but with every year, it becomes more difficult to stay with mom. And then sometimes you finally just, you're angry and you give up and you don't care. And you start doing unhealthy things. And then you also search out weird music or whatever to try to get yourself back some life here because you feel like you're dying.
Help me with this. If he's doing dark things and he leaves and I don't know it, it just doesn't matter. I just keep praying and God knows what's going and be okay with him wherever he goes. Just
most mothers do that at 18 when they go off to school. So, yes, at 34, that's what you do.
Well,
and you try to get him out that door.
Keeping him close to you.
Odile,
keeping him close to you is not in the best interest of you nor of him. So I hear your fear that if you move him along, that he'll be at greater risk. But the risk is taking place. This metamorphosis is already taking place under your roof. It's not helpful to encourage him to stay with you, nor for you to remain dependent upon him. Mm-hmm. So I think you're going to have to broaden your own support system so that you can live either with somebody else or get enough support so you don't need your son in your house to help you anymore.
Well, I am there now. What you're saying is correct.
Right.
And that I can do. I can do
Good.
That. But I was scared of helping him to leave and those whatever those negative forces are would be able to control him more.
Well, here's what you do.
But you're not keeping him from it, even him staying with you. And I would tell him that you've noticed a shift in him, and you're very concerned because you lived through that dark place with him at 19, and so it scares you. And see if he will talk with you about it, but also say, son, I think I'm holding you back by having you stay here, and in a sense, set him free, give him permission to branch out.
And so then you say, let's set a goal that in 6 months or 4 months, whatever seems realistic, that you're living on your own and independent. You can always come back here, but let's see if we can work out a different arrangement. So that your life can be your own. That's what I would do. And I'm going to send you to give to him, take your life back. And I hope that would be helpful. And for you, just to help you in your walk, I'm going to send you a Restoration Bible. And I hope you'll enjoy that. We are just about out of time. So thankful that we get to do this with you. And I hope you'll tell other folks about the program so they would listen in. We do want you to get help. We do want you, if you have been betrayed as a woman, we want you to go and experience Restore the way so many other women have. We really do believe in that program. Or maybe there's a counselor we could help you with. You call us at 1-800-NEW-LIFE. It's also the number to call if you can help us, and we'll send you a copy of the Mediterranean Love Plan. It's really a good one. Thank you, Jill. Thank you, Alice. Thanks to all of you who listen, watch, and pray for this ministry and support it. See you next time. Bye-bye.
Thanks for listening. We hope this program has helped you by giving you insights for handling the challenges you face in your life. We want you to know that we're here for you. But you also need to know that New Life Live is a listener-supported ministry. To make your donation or to get any of the resources mentioned on today's program, call 1-800-NEW-LIFE. That's 1-800-639-5433 or write to us at New Life Ministries, P.O. Box 1029, Lake Forest, California, 92609. Please join us again on Monday for New Life Live. Today's podcast can be downloaded through iTunes or streamed through your mobile device using the New Life app. Visit newlife.com to download the app today.